Yeah.
And candles. You can shore us all up.
They never make anything simple, you know, that you can just... I'm completely illiterate with a computer, completely.
Mm-hmm. If it's You're got, not missing anything.
If it's got start and stop, I would know how to push that.
Margaret, so...
Good morning. This is July 19th, 2013, and Jim Hollinger and I, Margot Hunt, are in this extraordinarily wonderful house that belongs to Eddie and Alice Kuhn. And we're going to have a little time with Alice this morning. And feel free to interrupt anybody who wants to chime in. I want to ask you, Alice, where you were born. Were you born here on Chincoteague?
Right here on the island, over on the east side.
And what was your maiden
name? December 7th, 1937, the worst winter on record.
Really? What happened?
It was just so cold and everything was so frozen. Back in that day, most people here worked on the water. They were watermen. And they would go down what they called down the bay for 2 weeks in the winter.
And what was that?
And 1 week in the summer because of the heat, the seafood, you know, would not keep. So Daddy was gone when I was born, and Mom run out of wood to keep the house warm, so she just burned whatever she could find. That's just the way it was back in the
day. And you were born at home then?
At home.
Did anybody help her?
Oh, we had a family doctor, mm-hmm. Lee Cates, he went around delivering babies and a midwife.
And you were on the east side. Where on the east side? Where was on Willow Street, you said?
No, on east side.
On east side,
I was
drive.
On east side.
East side on mm-hmm. east side drive?
Mm-hmm. It was, Kirk McGee lives in the same spot now, if you're familiar with that name. He does carvings.
Yes.
That's in that same spot is where I was born and grew up.
So have you lived here most of your life?
In my entire life.
So did you go to the Chincoteague School on
yes.
Church Street?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you were sad to see that go.
No. I hated school.
Oh.
No, I wasn't sad at all.
Mm-hmm. You're an artist, aren't you? You are an artist. I know you are. I have seen this fabulous collection.
She's known as a children take care of her and a cook.
And an artist. She's a beautiful artist, I believe.
Back then when I was in school, basically the teachers were from the island. So everybody knew or thought they knew everybody else's business. It wasn't always an easy thing. Especially if you had any skeletons in the closet. You know, they like to drag them out.
Did you have any skeletons in your closet?
Not me. I was good. But my family had plenty. The Clark family is notorious for lots of things. Matter of fact, my cousin, Walter, was a legend in his own time on this island. He's one shot the game warden.
I don't know about that. Tell about that.
Oh, that's something else. Well, the men, like I said, the men here had always worked the water and always done their own. You know, they go out with the needed deer. They go out and shoot it, bring it home, clean it, and that was for the family to use to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was wasted back in that time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll guarantee you nothing was wasted. And he had just returned from the Iwo Jima.
Oh,
you know, back in that day when you went in the military and you had about 5 to 6 weeks of training, you were taught to kill. That's what you were taught to do.
Yeah.
As soon as that period was over, you shipped out. So he had just returned from Iwo Jima. And naturally, he went over there to look for him a deer. And the game warden, for about 2 weeks, harassed him everywhere he went, every move he made. He harassed him trying to, you know, get something that he could get onto him. So he was hiding behind a tree, and his Walt's reflexes, of course, was to shoot. You know, when you just come back from a war zone, and back then it was a big time thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. He shot. Evidently, he didn't shoot to kill him because he had an outstanding war record. And he was an excellent marksman. So he didn't shoot to kill him. But he did shoot him. But he never did like him again after that.
I imagine why. So are Clark relatives here on this island?
We have a few left. We have a few left on here.
Is Tommy Clark a relative of yours?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's a good waterman.
Pretty much all the Clarks are related in some form or another. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they used to always get in trouble for trapping ducks and this kind of thing. You know, it was just something all the time.
Why?
Matter of fact, when my first child was born in Nassauwatuck's hospital, when I was returning home, Walt was in the old jail that's in Accomack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't in the jail. He was sitting out on the step. So that was our first stop, was the jail. Lifted him.
Oh, what a background.
It was really something back then for a while back in them days.
Have you traced your family history back? Do you know how far back you all go?
Not too much so, no.
And you must have been on the shore for a long time,
yeah.
Your family.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to find
out.
Well,
Walt used to say we were horse thieves from New Jersey.
Well.
And that could have well been.
They're probably straight from Scotland to Shinkatay.
Yeah, we're Scottish, so I mean that probably might have been has, you know, some bearing on it.
Sure, sure.
But they now across the street, Mimi Savin has got this thing going, and she's got it over in the museum as well, about this boy, young boy. You heard the story?
Are you talking about James Alone?
But that's just not true.
Really?
Really?
That is not true, and I've told her that, and told her that. That is not true.
Now, we're talking about the kind of that little boy who was...
Like 12, maybe, years old? Because I've heard my father say many, many, many times... My grandfather found that boy and brought him home, and they raised him to be a grown man. Hmm. That story she's telling is just not true.
Really?
And I've told her that, but she keeps right on telling me.
Well, that is it. There's going to be a play about it, I think, even pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So that family is not connected with yours at all?
No. Mm-mm. Now, my grandfather, our great-grandfather, married Comfort. Her name was Comfort. She come from over on that side of that family some kind of way. I'm not quite sure just how it was all about. But I know that part of the story is just not true. Hmm. It really needs to be properly investigated. She has no documentation. Hmm. She has no nothing.
Hmm. Now who?
So it wasn't a water foundling, a child found from a wreck, as they say.
Actually, they don't know where the boy come from.
No.
They have no idea where he come from.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a very small boy?
About 12 years old.
12.
Oh, yeah. That's not a baby.
No, he was about 12 years old.
And the descendants of that boy, now?
Were the Ernestine's family? The Lunds?
Are we talking about the same child?
Yeah, yes.
Ernestine's family claim they are descendants of this child?
Uh-huh.
And that's not true.
Because she has no documentation whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I know what my family members have told me down through the years, and I have told her that.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if my daughter can find the tape, she has a tape where Walt, the one I was just speaking of, has given put all that down on tape.
Oh.
Well, we would love to know about that. That's important.
He would have recorded that at Walt Clark?
Yeah.
Walt Clark.
Walter Clark.
Look into that, Margo.
Yeah, we will.
She has that tape someplace, if she can just find it.
Well, okay, why don't we get back into your life again, because that's what the interesting part is. You know, your days on Willow Street and your...
No, East Side Drive.
Well, East Side Drive.
Was your community around a church in those days?
Basically, your whole life was.
And what church was that?
Well, the Union Baptist.
Union Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And your life really, your social life and everything circulated around the church, as it mostly does now.
Well, so that, it was a different world, a different time, a different generation. There was nothing really entertaining to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beach had never started, had never opened yet.
Yes.
And you went to school, you went to church, you come home. And each section of the island was basically divided. You didn't go outside of your sector.
Now, why was that? Why didn't you?
I don't know. I don't know why, but that's the way it was. Each part of the island had its own little section and had its own little grocery store. Mm-hmm. There was, at one time, there must have been at least 25 grocery stores on here. Little small stores.
And what was your part of the island called on the east side?
Dodge City.
Dodge City. And you had a church? You had your own church on that?
No, area? No, we went to, on Church Street.
To the big one,
mm-hmm.
Big church, Baptist church.
We also had an annex of the of that down on Willow Street with Beulah.
Uh-huh.
It got burned?
Yes.
That belonged
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
You went to Sunday school and service in the morning, and then you went down there in the afternoon. And then you come home and eat, and then you got ready and went back to church again that night. That's the only time you got socialized with anybody.
The rest of the
week. Because you didn't get to go out of your neighborhood.
And the watermen were on the water all week.
All week.
Six or seven days,
mm-hmm.
6 days a week, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in school.
Mm-hmm.
And when you weren't in school, what did you do? What did you do in the summer?
Well, now, a lot of times in the summer, in my particular case, I left the island. My grandparents lived up in Bishopville,
uh-huh.
down around St. Martin's Neck.
Yes.
They had a farm up there, and I would go up and stay with them.
But why did you do that?
Oh, because I loved them.
Oh.
And they were so good to us.
And what did you do up there?
We worked on the farm and just piddled around doing whatever we wanted. There was no pressure of any kind put on us. They just let us do it ourselves.
Did you, was the farm near the water?
No. No.
So you actually did farm work?
Yeah.
You raked hay and...
What little, I mean, I was very young, what little, you know, that I was capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't forced to work. You did, if you wanted to, it was okay, and if not, you know, they didn't put pressure on you.
Did you have a garden there?
Oh, yes. Hey, mm-hmm.
Did you work in the garden?
Not too much, no.
Because you were too small?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Then as you got older, what did you do in the summers? You were in high school then.
Yeah.
So when you were
in the summertime, but see, it's not like I said already. It's not. It was not like it is now. There was no summertime jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of hung around home and did whatever we could, you know, about the house.
Mm-hmm.
House work and what have you.
And you didn't have a library then.
No.
So you didn't have books, very much.
No. Only thing if you could get some from school.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the teachers were very generous, and they would allow you to bring home like a half a dozen books so you could have them to read, you know, over the summer months.
Uh-huh.
And some of them were kind of not so generous.
Yeah. So you weren't...
Some of them were downright mean.
Well, that's why you didn't like school.
Yeah. Probably. And the librarian was an old crab, Miss Bird.
Miss Bird, B-Y-R-D?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh, why was she an old crab?
I think she was a spinster and she just didn't know what life was about.
So after you finished high school...
But you couldn't say anything back then. You know, you didn't say anything. I can remember, you know, growing up, I had always had real long hair. And it was always naturally curly. And Mom would always make them long finger curls. But you didn't dare move when she was working on you because that would have been considered disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Wang upside the face, you'd get it with the comb. So you had to be perfectly still while she was working with you. And then when I'd get back outside, I'd shake my head as hard as I could and shake them all out.
Well, when did you get interested in dolls? Was it after high school or during that time?
Probably after, yeah. Oh. I've always loved dolls. So,
what did you do after high school? Did you go to work someplace?
After high school, I got married.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And moved over, that's when we moved over to Tic Tac.
Okay. Where in Tick Town did you live?
Just about the middle way of the Willow Street. Uh-huh. The street just about in the middle way.
Uh-huh.
The highest spot.
So you had no flooding?
Oh, no. No, that is the highest point on Chincoteague Island.
Is that right?
Yeah. When we had the 62 storm, mm-hmm. we didn't get water.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Near the cemetery there. It's near the cemetery.
That's
a high spot.
No, it's up toward Church Street from the, right. where we were, from the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. So did you know Nancy Conklin's family?
Yeah.
Up there?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were all living in there, that
yeah.
area, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a black church up there?
Oh, yeah.
Tell yeah. about that. Tell about your black neighborhood up there, what you remember.
Well, see, at one point in time, that was back even, you know, before my, even me. The entire area was black.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, of course, they had their own church, and they didn't have a school on here. They had to go to the mainland to go to school.
They don't have jobs for working.
They weren't allowed to go to school on here.
So they went by boat?
No, we had a bridge.
The bridge to the mainland?
The bridge was, that bridge was built. The other bridge, well, the one that's still existing, they worked on building that when the year that Mom was carrying me, which was 37, I think it was completed in 38.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's how long that's been there.
So the black children all had to go?
Hey, they all had to go over to the mainland to go to school.
And did they have businesses here? I mean, did they work here? Did they have neighborhood stores?
There wasn't that, it wasn't that many of them.
Oh.
The Russell Hotel hired maybe three from different families.
Mm-hmm.
And the one, she was huge. Bob Yule's wife. She taught school over on the mainland. And he worked at the ABC store. And then on Taylor Street, it was a family, a couple families of them. Excuse me.
But they weren't doing things like oyster shucking the way...
Well, he was in the military. That one guy was. He lost his arm up to the elbow. He just had a little nubby mm-hmm. below the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked for Bill Birch.
Mm-hmm.
And he could take a gallon of paint and hang it on that little nubby
oh.
and work all day long.
Oh,
paint all day long.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
But they were different. And then... the Brennies lived down there,
mm-hmm.
and he worked like, I'm not sure who he was employed by, but I do know he did a lot of hauling sand, you know, for Phil.
Mm-hmm. I think Charlie Crippen is a Brenny. Do you know Charlie who lives on the mainland in Wattsville? Anyway,
the name sounds very familiar, yeah. Charlie
He
Crippen.
Works on computers. He could teach you how to use a computer.
I'm too old.
He's taught me.
I'm too old.
So after you moved to Willow Street, did you begin to get interested in collecting dolls or making dolls? Or when did... What?
Well, so then I started my family. Now I have two girls.
Uh-huh.
So naturally, you know, everybody likes dolls. So... I had them to dress, you know, and buy fixed clothes and dolls for her, plus half of the school. My house was always a watering hole for children, always.
Isn't that nice?
And I loved it that way.
Sure.
And they would come in, you know, I've got a doll here that you've got to dress for me. Then when it come time for the prom, I need a prom gown fixed or repaired or made out. So all these things I did because I was able to do them, and I was glad, really glad to do them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, this
because some of the children, they just, the circumstances surrounding their life, they just could not do it.
Mm-hmm. That feedbacks.
They couldn't do it. You know, their families couldn't do it, and they wouldn't have had any.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. Mom always, my grandmother, one that I just spoke of, she made a lot of our clothes, and she made underwear out of white feed bags. Mom would take the feed bags, you know, all feed bags have a print design,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and she would hang them out on the clothesline. and to do heavy dews at night would come and make them damp. And that would help erase that dye that was in there, you know, with the design. Eventually they all turn out white.
Were they scratchy?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I can imagine.
But see, when that's what you have and that's all you don't know it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't know that they're uncomfortable because that's all you know.
That's right.
We were discussing that yesterday, Ed and I, about the heat. You know, back then, nobody had air.
Yes.
Few people even had a fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The grocery store over on East Side, Harry Tower's grocery store, he had a ceiling fan, and that's all there was. Church didn't have any fans. Except the, you know, the ones you get from the funeral home where so it was a hard time. Life was hard, but you didn't know it because that's all you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking back, you think, how did I ever survive it?
Mm-hmm.
But at the time you're going through, and another thing too, when you're young, a child on up, it's not much that bothers you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very little bothers you when you're young.
Mm-hmm.
Then as you get older, I think everything bothers you.
Well, it seems as though it was a generous time, too. People took care of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you sewed for all those people. And then you started, then you really got interested in dolls.
Yeah.
And you have a beautiful doll collection here, extraordinary. And some of them are German, and some you painted yourself and made yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tell about that a little bit.
I used to have my own kiln, and I didn't have much in...
How did you learn to make these? Tell me. How did you learn to use a kiln?
Well, trial and error, actually.
You taught yourself?
Uh-huh. You get a book, you know. I'm doing a lot with a book now. Can't do much with a computer.
You can still read.
But, you know, you can read and get instructions and see how you do things. And it's really not that much involved. You just have to use a certain way that you put in, you know, for your amount, whatever you're firing, whatever temperature you want it to rise up to. And that way, you know, you just try it. Well, does this work? If not, then I'll have to try it another way.
Where did you get clay? Did you get a certain kind of clay to make dolls?
I basically got that from Pat Taylor when she was in business. Down on the ridge. But you could buy it, anybody that, you know, that was working with ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit finer. A clay that you use for porcelain.
Yes.
A little bit more complicated to fire it also.
Were most of your dolls made of porcelain? Your dolls' faces made of porcelain?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Certainly the ones you got from Germany were.
Oh, yeah.
And the ones you've made were.
Yes.
And you've made all the clothes for all the dolls that mm-hmm. you have here. Did you sell them ever? Did you ever sell them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to have a little place, a little shop where I had set up. Then we go to doll shows and, well, not especially a doll show, a craft show.
Mm-hmm.
And always sold, always. I took orders. And
where was your little, did you have a little shop?
Yeah, right there in the back of the house.
In Willow Street.
I mm-hmm. still got the sign down in the garage that hung outside.
Uh-huh. What does it say? Willow Street Dolls?
What does it say?
Yeah, I think it's just Alice's Dollhouse.
Alice's Dollhouse. Oh. How many dolls did you have in those
days?
Oh, dozens. Yeah.
How many dolls do you think you have right now in this house?
Oh, I don't know.
Roughly.
I don't know.
Roughly just gave about 45 to 50.
Because I was just telling Daddy we had got a doll room in there, but I think we counted about 20 in our bedroom. So the dolls is really branching out. I don't think it's a room in the house. We don't have a doll.
What will happen to these dolls? Do you know? Have you thought about it?
When we go,
uh-huh.
Oh, we have grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Good.
They'll not let it get away from them.
That's good. Yeah, I bet they won't.
Mm-mm.
You also have a fine collection of bears.
Yeah, they love them too. Yeah, they'll not let it get away. We have two granddaughters, and she went to school in East Carolina, and she met her husband. There, and they got married. They made their home down there. She has three children. The other one is the assistant principal at the high school. She don't have any children
here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
she's being groomed to take the position over because Mr. Holland's going to retire before too long. He's not real healthy. But anyways,
what's her name?
Karen Taylor.
Karen Taylor. I just wondered if I'd met her.
Got red hair, long red hair.
Oh, yeah. I think I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. Pretty. Well, they're interested in all of this. There's mm-hmm. plenty of people interested in it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it'll not get away from them.
That's good. I think that's fine.
And then when April comes home, brings the babies. That one in there behind the couch in that little stroller, she knows that we put that there just for her. So we have to hide it every time when she comes because I don't want her to break it.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you had any that were off limits to children.
Well, anything that we have that's porcelain is off limits.
Yes.
Now, you can't break porcelain easily. It might you think of it as being a fragile
mm-hmm.
product, but it's really not. As long as you don't hit the two things together.
Mm-hmm.
That way one has got the same amount of force the other one has.
Mm-hmm.
You can break their feet or hands very quickly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they will last forever.
I had one, and her face survived, but not her fingers. Fingers didn't survive.
Were they porcelain?
Yeah, they were porcelain.
Hmm.
It was an old doll, old German doll.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
She's gone now?
Yeah.
Some of the dolls we buy, you got to replace the thing.
Because you probably could get her, you could fix her if you had her.
Put a slip on it.
Of course,
do you still take dolls and make clothes for them and sew?
I have been up until just not that long ago. You know, I've been making dolls. Matter of fact, it wasn't long ago that I made one for Charlotte Carpenter. I dressed her, one of the old-fashioned Southern Belle dolls.
Oh, so you're still sewing and happily.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the Depression era, and it was poor here, wasn't it?
I don't really remember that much because we were coming up out of the Depression when I was born.
Yeah.
World War II is what brought us, that's what brought us up.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember all the stamps when you went to the store. You had to have stamps, ration stamps.
Sure.
And I remember Mom used to have books of them when we'd go to the store. But the Depression itself, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Rough. It was really rough. I guess we were a little bit better off here than some because at that time, seafood was in abundance. You know, you could go out and maybe just set a little small net to get fish, and while that was setting, you could go and catch enough clams to last you 2 or 3 days to eat. I mean, and the ducks and everything. And until Buck got onto the game warden thing, James Williams was the main one that did the game that worked, and he knew if you had a big family, you needed to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very lenient, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't give him a whole lot of credit for that, but he did. And then sometimes he would say, don't come out today because Buck's going to be with me. They've got a big write-up about that over at the, on the beach, at the Bateman Center.
Oh, really? I'll look for that.
Mm-hmm. They've got a big write-up about Buck and been getting shot.
Oh, Buck, he was a ranger.
Oh, he was a warden.
Warden.
Yeah.
Have you been to the new museum?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the old museum, made new.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
It's really not bad at all. Mm-mm.
It's an improvement, I think.
Yes. Yes, anything had to be an improvement.
That's the truth. Are you fishing now? Are you fishing?
No.
No, the last time I went fishing was out here in the backyard.
Into your canal? Mm-hmm.
And I got a big trout on my line.
When was this?
And don't you know, my line was so bad shape, it broke and off my fish went. Well, I got him back on the second time, and he did it again. And I still didn't get my line replaced.
Is there somebody in this room who should have been seeing that?
He should have been taking care of it. So Bill Bott, well, he was across the street at the time. We carried him over that.
Well, isn't that amazing? Was that very long ago to get a trout out of this?
It's been about, what, 3 years, 3-4 years?
Four years ago.
Yeah. It was a good size fish because I could get him up enough.
Yeah,
you could see.
Flounder, yeah. And half small, you know. And a spot, perch, and a porgy, and she caught a 17. I caught a 17-inch bluefish right on a cane pole. We got snappers. And seems to get these garfish there, like 24-inch garfish.
But Janet told us we couldn't eat that.
But a bluefish. I'd give my right arm for a bluefish.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
And I think they're the commonest fish that swims in the ocean.
I know. They used to be. And now they're really hard to buy. You can't buy them.
There's not much going on now for any kind of fish.
Mm-mm. It's tough.
You know what they've done? They've caught the tourists who's come and caught them up.
Yeah.
And they won't finish it.
Well, it certainly is. The island is very full right now. Are you going to go to pony penning?
No.
You've been?
Oh, yeah.
And carnival?
It's like going to New York City. I think every person should go one time. And that's the way with the pony penning. Oh, I used to love it. I used to love it. I would go out there. It never opened until 7. But I'd go out and sit there about 5 and wait for it to open. And now we've not been in, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, we used to work at the carnival a lot. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather work. I would rather be working, you know, than just walking.
What were you doing there?
I worked in the ladies' stand, the ladies' auxiliary stand.
Uh-huh. The fire company.
But see, back in the day, you knew everybody. Yeah, and that's basically when you got to meet and sit and talk for a minute.
It was a social
now, you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody out there.
I know.
You can walk around half the night and not see one person you know.
Yeah. That's huge crowds, too.
Mm-hmm. Everything has changed. Everything is different.
Yeah. Do you think it's a happier time?
No.
Or? No.
No.
Not a happier time.
No, because growing up, you felt safe. You were secure. My mother never owned a key to our house. You never had to worry about locking your doors. Everything, you just went in the house and closed the door and that was it. You didn't worry about it.
Did you have a car in
No.
your family? You didn't need a car, mm-hmm. or you didn't have one, but you had a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Your family had a boat. And it was a secure time. You felt
yeah.
very secure as a child.
Yeah, because you could go, I mean, just like a lone child or a couple, three, could walk from, I lived, like I said, over on the east side, from there all the way over to town, which for a kid, that's a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you never had to worry about being bothered. Nobody bothered you, even if it was day in the middle of the day or even after dark.
Did you walk to school?
No, the bus come around.
You had a bus even then?
Mm-hmm.
And it took you to the elementary school,
mm-hmm.
Church Street.
And the bus never made stops like it does now. It had just different points that it stopped. When it left the school, it went down Church Street to Piney Island Turn.
Mm-hmm.
That stopped and picked up everybody that lived up on Piney Island. Come down. It didn't go up there to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was up to you to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stopped. Went on rang, Paratar Store, and then there's another stop. Then it stopped down at the Pony Pines,
mm-hmm.
and that crowd come out. But that was the only.
So you went to the Pony Pines stop.
No, yeah. I went to Tower Store. That was closer to where I lived.
I see.
Mm-hmm. That was the only favoritism that was shown. And that's because Miss Agnes would go to school and throw a fit if they didn't do what she told them. She was something else.
And what was her, what would she do?
They run her and her husband, Vaughn Mumford, they run the Pony Violence.
I see.
At the time, that was the only beer joint on the island.
Uh-huh.
It was the Pony Pines was there, and then beside of that was another building that they called the Casino.
Uh-huh.
And that lasted for, I was very young when that burned, and that was the end of that. That was no more.
And then the Pony Pines died, burned, didn't it? The Pony Pines?
I'm not positive. Did it burn or was it torn down?
I'm not positive now either. We used to go and dance there.
Mm-hmm.
The early days of my coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it burned up.
No,
Well, see, they had a bowling alley was on the end, and they turned that into a kitchen.
Uh-huh.
That's probably what you remember was the kitchen.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And then you could go in the other part, you know, if you wanted to dance
that's right.
Or just sit, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think we need another Pony Pines. It was a great place.
I don't know why they... It seems like to me they tore that down.
I think you're probably right. And it's still vacant. That land.
I know they had a big sign up there, almost like a billboard type sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be open at such and such a date,
mm-hmm.
but it never materialized, ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really don't know what become of that.
I don't remember mine.
As an addendum here, you might be interested in Alice's story about she and Eddie were widowers.
Let them tell. Okay, I would.
And
how
they got together was very interesting because Eddie was from...
Wait, don't tell. You tell.
Yeah, we really had both been married the same length of time, only to different people.
Uh-huh.
And both of them died. They caught cancer, both of them, and died. And then when we come, Eddie moved down here. Maybe he had been here a year, or maybe a little less. Yeah. I used to go walking over on the beach all the time. I used to do a lot of walking until I got gimped up.
You got what?
I got gimped up.
Gimped up.
Now my feet and legs just won't carry me.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eddie used to walk a lot over there too. But anyways, it was so unusual for somebody from New York City and me here, you know, that we were able to really start a relationship.
Well, how did you actually meet? On the beach?
Yeah, we were walking. And
did he pick you up, kind of?
Yeah, well, I think I might have picked him up. Yeah, I think that's the way that it went.
Uh-huh.
And then he was on Ocean Boulevard. When I found that out, then I would ride past there, you know, to see what was going on there. So I think I kind of was the one that did the pursuing.
And what was going on there?
Nothing. He was out there measuring his cactus. He had a great big cactus garden. He was out measuring that. And he had another garden, a vegetable garden, in the backyard.
Did you have this place then, or did you get this place together?
No, we got this together. No, his house was on Ocean Boulevard.
Yes.
Mine was down on Willow Street.
You were still living on Willow mm-hmm. Street. So you got a place together.
So we got this together.
That's nice.
We had about 5-6 houses going at one time.
Really?
Yeah, he had his place in New York still, and he had one on Ocean Boulevard. Then I had two houses down on Willow Street, and then we had this one in progress.
And did you have your doll shop then?
No.
You had gone out of business. Yeah. You retired from mm-hmm. that.
I got in some pigs.
You what?
Hogs.
Oh, yeah, we used to raise hogs, too, down on Willow Street.
Oh.
Hundreds of them.
Hogs. Huh. And how did everybody feel about that?
Well, it was kind of with a strong smell there now in the summer.
I can imagine.
There is no mistaking it.
I can imagine that.
But we managed it for quite a few years.
And so you sold hogs?
Mm-hmm. The last ones we took to market up in Delaware was 24 cents a pound.
Now that doesn't mean anything to me. So how much?
That means zero money for what you have done.
Oh, really? I wonder what they are now.
I don't know, but that was the end of that. Right. I said, no way, I'm not going to do all that. Because I had even filled up a laundry tub, you know, the galvanized laundry tubs.
Mm-hmm.
I had even filled that with water and bubble bath and give every one of them suckers a bath. Before we took them to market. And we're still...
They were beautiful.
Yeah.
And very clean.
And very nice smelling.
They didn't smell at all.
And that still didn't give a 24 cents.
Oh, darn. Sorry. Oh, golly.
So we always had some kind of bunch of animals around. The kids, when they were in 4-H, and they had milk goats. Now, they're a pain, milk goats are.
Uh-huh, I know.
They are.
Yeah, everywhere. Yes.
But then we had horses, and we used to raise at least 1 to 2 cows every year to eat. And we took that to the slaughterhouse and had that ready.
Well, you must have had a lot of land on Willow Street.
Well, we had enough, but we were always trying to look after and preserve food for the coming year.
Yes.
Because you had to look out for, because you never knew when you opened the door how many people you were going to feed.
Oh, really?
Especially when the children, you know, were going to school.
When, and their friends would come in. And they wouldn't have had any food.
No, Miss Alice, I've missed the bus. I said, you've missed nothing. You just come down here to worry me to death. you've got to take me home, and some of them will be over in Harntown all around.
You were wonderfully hospitable.
Well, I tried to be where young folks was concerned.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Because some of them had nothing.
Mm.
And that's terrible.
It is.
That is a terrible thing.
I know. Yeah, it is. Well, we've kept you long enough. It's been a wonderful, wonderful visit with you. Thank you very much.
No, you're certainly welcome.
We've enjoyed your house and your hospitality. Thank you.